research that resonates.
Schweitzer has not been wrong on any of his years and years of reporting on the Bidens.
Investigations that matter.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. But that's, you know, I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that that if my last name wasn't Biden.
The only entities, the only people that would report on this, and Peter Schweitzer, who deserves a Medal of Freedom, in my view.
This is The Drill Down with Peter Schweitzer.
Hi, this is Peter Schweitzer, and welcome to The Drill Down, where we relentlessly expose cronyism, corruption, and the abuse of power in Washington, D.C. The co-host of this program, of course, is Eric Eggers. Eric, how are you?
I'm well, Peter. It's election season, and it's a busy time around the world of news and politics.
It is, and there's a lot of discussion about election integrity. And usually when people have that conversation, they talk about ballot access. They talk about, you know, are people stuffing the ballot boxes? Are there irregularities in voting? We're actually taking a broader take today, right? We're going to look at the issue of election integrity, but the flow of information and the ability of big tech firms to manipulate and potentially in the future manipulate elections through the control and flow of information.
Yeah, I'm happy to be talking about this because obviously we've been talking about your book, Blood Money. It's number one again on the New York Times bestseller list this week. But to be honest, I like that we're talking about something that's a little bit different, because when we talk about Chinese stuff, I feel less empowered and less self-actualized. I'm further down on the Maslow pyramid, right?
It's the names that throw you.
But I do consider myself something of an integrity expert because of how little of it I possess. And when we talk about American elections and the impact that technology has on it, I like that this can be something. And you're right, this has been a big deal. You actually talked about in Blood Money the impact that TikTok, among other tools, can have. And we've obviously seen a debate happen in this country about TikTok. Ironically, it's worth pointing out that the Biden administration gave 30 days to delete TikTok on all federal government mobile apps back in 2023. And Joe Biden just posted his 86th TikTok video since that ban took place. So they're continuing to use it to manipulate elections.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. And in Blood Money, we talk about and we quote extensively from Chinese officials about how they view TikTok as a mechanism for manipulating. In fact, one of the Chinese officials says that China should, quote, exploit big data analysis, AI processes, bots, astroturfing groups of different personalities, voters to realize large scale guidance of public opinion and changing their political orientation. So they've got big ambitions and they're starting to do that already in the space of TikTok. And this, of course, is an app that is controlled by a Chinese company close to the Chinese state.
Yeah, but TikTok's kind of playing catch up, right? And our guest today is going to tell us what the big boy is doing in terms of manipulating data. But as you noted in Blood Money, you know, TikTok before the 2022 elections, Chinese government backed TikTok accounts ran videos that attacked people like Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Greg Abbott, and those were seen by, you know, 8.3 million times. So we've seen TikTok and other technology companies play in the election interference space, but they got nothing on Google.
No, they got nothing on Google. We have a guest to talk about this today. Eric and I, of course, did a film in 2018 called The Creepy Line, which looked at Google manipulation. But you've got a guest today that has a particularly more recent example of how Google is manipulating the national conversation.
That's right. We're going to talk to Bobby Barak. He's a writer for OutKick, who's a great website. And he noted something over the weekend. Now, Bobby, you did a great job of catching something in the news and I think tying in a few other things relevant to what Google's up to. Feel free to quote us. You know, our film's from 2018. There's no reason you can't reference it or link to it. It's available on Amazon. So, you know, by means, like, have at it. But no, Bobby, it was a great piece and we're excited to have you on. Talk about what it is you saw and why it made news and then how it kind of fits into this larger narrative, the role Google will play in 2024.
Yeah, what a banner week from Google. So last Sunday or two Sundays ago, you type in the word Donald Trump or bloodbath, and the entire first page sends you to articles that take his quote out of context. They don't mention that he was referencing the automotive industry. The headlines to NBC, CNN, and CBS, they all make it sound like he was trying to provoke a civil war. Then on Tuesday, we get a report from Media Research Center that Google has interfered in major elections 41 times over the past 16 years. Then on Thursday, I noticed a pretty eerie change. Google changed the definition of the term bloodbath sometime between Sunday and Wednesday night after Donald Trump used the term. They manipulated the word to justify the unjust criticism of Donald Trump's speech. Consider how problematic that is when you note that 93% of online users only use Google as their search engine. Google dictates what voters see, what they don't see, and a lot of times what they know.
Yeah, Bobby, this is a really interesting case because, of course, there's been concerns in the past, historically, about the power of media companies. You know, you remember William Randolph Hearst, he owned a bunch of newspapers. But you're quite right. I mean, 92% of people, 93% of people that use, you know, search are using Google as a search function. And the fact is that over 99% of the people only go to the first page of a Google search result. So that top loading is so important. So what's going on here? Google would probably say, well, this is organic. We don't manipulate it. This is just the algorithm. What do you say to their claims that, well, we don't really control this. This just happens organically.
Yeah, I believe that is such a lie. Are we supposed to believe it's just a coincidence that when you type in Lincoln Riley, there's no headlines linking it to Biden's open border policy? Is it just a coincidence that when you type in Donald Trump, the entire first page is negative and conservative websites are nowhere to be found? One life rule that I've always stood by is coincidences don't exist. Of course they're manipulating it. Of course. And how do we know this? Because Google also controls YouTube, and they're notorious for manipulating what users can and cannot see, who can monetize their content. And I would tell Google, here's another problem that people don't talk about. Mark Zuckerberg is held accountable for Facebook. Elon Musk is held accountable for Twitter and X. Jeff Bezos is supposed to be held accountable for Amazon. Who's running Google? Who's making these decisions? Who do you contact if you have a question? It's a bunch of faceless tech tyrants who have the power to manipulate a U.S. election. The fact that this is not a bigger story or the story is such an indictment on our U.S. press.
It's actually a great point, and I thought it's a point you made in your piece, which is really good, because not only is there not a singular titular head that you can attack for Google, the opposite is sort of true. The person that used to be the head of Google, Eric Schmidt, was, you know, the hand in the glove that worked together to get Barack Obama reelected in 2012. And then as a result, when Joe Biden has been reelected, we did a podcast on this a while ago. He has basically been in charge of this Office of Science and Technology within the White House. I think it's like 12 of the 140 employees used to work for Eric Schmidt. He's paying the salaries out of a foundation he controls for several people. So the one guy that was in charge, I think he's almost like he got too much attention, and now he's stepped away. And now it's, yeah, who does run Google? But to Peter's point about, like, will they say, oh, it's just organic? I mean, this should be very clear. On Sunday, March 17th, this is what you wrote about. Yeah. The definition of bloodbath was a ruthless slaughter of a great number of people, of a massacre. And then as of Thursday, March 21st, it was an event in which many people are killed in a violent manner. Quote, he allowed the protest to go ahead despite warnings it would spark a bloodbath. Like, so they literally changed the definition to justify, as Bobby points out, the context they alleged that Donald Trump used it in, even though it's not the context he used. I mean, they literally they created a thing and then astroturfed supporting evidence to try to justify their creation.
And they did this. Yeah, and they did this in 2021 as well. They weren't the only one. They changed the definition of anti-vaxxer to justify the headlines, calling all these conservatives anti-vaxxers, when really all they were saying is, hey, we shouldn't force people, particularly healthy young Americans, to get this novel vaccine. And Google changed that definition. I've said it for a couple of years now. We focus so much on Facebook and Twitter's role in suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story. why don't we spend more time talking about, you couldn't find that story on Google. You had to go to the third page, which nobody does. A report from Dr. Epstein says that Google deterred about 6-7 million votes in favor of Joe Biden in 2020. I think that is too gracious. I think it's over 10, maybe 12 million votes when you factor in all the mechanisms they did to interfere with the spread of factual information. It should be the story. And as far as I'm concerned, TikTok, Facebook, they're just a distraction to the power that Google wields over everyday Americans.
Yeah, it's a massive power. And, you know, to the point we were discussing earlier about, you know, Google claiming this is all organic. It's remarkable how the organic always skews one direction, right? It never skews the other. If this was a quote natural occurrence, you would just expect statistically it would break several ways. But, you know, there's numerous examples of previous election manipulation by Google. In 2008, they suspended the accounts of writers who were pro-Clinton that were critical of Obama. This was during the primary, of course. In 2016, if people Googled Hillary Clinton crime, Google suggested Hillary Clinton crime reform.
Because that's what she was known for, right? But by the way, crime reform, not the fact that she used to use the super predator term back in the 90s, but it's like her crime reform bill.
Right, exactly. If they Googled Hillary Clinton indictment, Google suggested Hillary Clinton India.
Naturally.
Which is, of course, what everybody was looking for if they're typing.
People that read Chapter 4 in Clinton Cash, except for flip-flop with right. The nuclear deal.
Exactly. Google labeled Nazism as one of the California GOP's ideology. The study, this is the Media Research Center, found that 5% of the stories that Google linked to on its Google News homepage came from right-leaning media outlets. So it's biased in terms of how they are trying to control the language. It's also biased by story selection and what they tend to focus on. You know, the question is what are we looking for in 2024, Bobby? If you have your crystal ball, I mean, it's starting to happen now, but by the time we reach September and October, which let's face it, that's when a lot of swing voters start to actually pay attention. People that follow this stuff regularly like us, we're kind of the oddballs. There are a lot of people who in September, October actually start paying attention to an election. Bobby, what are the sort of things you are concerned about based on the research you've done?
The normies. I wrote a column 2 weeks ago about Lincoln Riley and how she's the inverse of George Floyd politically. And when I was researching this piece, background on me, I live in a small town. I actually don't hang out with a lot of media people. I hang out with normal people, thankfully. And when I was telling them about this story, they're like, what does Lincoln Riley have to do with Joe Biden? I'm thinking, I looked up on Google. There's not a lot of links to them. So many topics that we all know that are political, the average person doesn't have access to that because it's so hard to find the truth, right? We go back to COVID. If you weren't searching on the second or third page of Google or going to alternative sources, you just assumed that the COVID vaccine had nothing – or the COVID virus had nothing to do with the lab, that the vaccine was – so powerful that would prevent you from hospitalization and COVID. These are all lies that the average American doesn't realize they're lied to because they don't, like you and I, go to those alternative sources. So it concerns me that some of the most problematic trends in the U.S., the average American just doesn't realize that all they hear from the news or they hear on the radio or see on Facebook is that Donald Trump's a crook and that he's vile and he's the next Hitler, and that sways votes because they're not consuming both sides of the spectrum because, and a lot of times, they don't have access to both sides of the spectrum.
Now, you referenced Dr. Epstein, Dr. Robert Epstein, yeah, who's been a guest on this podcast. We actually featured him prominently in our documentary.
I got to watch that documentary.
Which, not only do you need to watch it, you should just, like, we're looking for the backlinks, bro. You know what I mean? You can do it. Like, we'll talk off air. But no, it's legit. It was like the social dilemma before the social dilemma was a thing. It came out in 2018. And, you know, I also happened to write a book in 2018 about election fraud and how the left might leverage election integrity deficiencies to manipulate the outcomes of upcoming elections. And so the juxtaposition of those two things has informed, I think, our perspective institutionally of what's happened since then. And it's crazy because I think it used to be, and then you bring in the COVID piece to it, which I think is a really smart thing to talk about. Because we talked about, man, okay, so depending upon who won, yeah, the tax policy might be different. And all right, maybe we're going to invade a certain country or not. But then when COVID happened, it's like, no. Like, you might not be able to leave your house based on who's in charge. You might not be able to see your relatives. And it made political outcomes much more profoundly personal. Yeah. And then so you take the role that Google has consistently played in shifting political outcomes. And now it's like you're shifting personal outcomes and you're impacting people's lives. And I think the best example of that is not just what you said, which is the definition of anti-vaxxer, the material people got on COVID. When COVID happens, you force people to stay inside. And what they do, they just doom scrolled all day. They read news. And so there's like this self-fulfilling hysteria that happened. And then the election, okay, well, maybe we'll get some reprieve after the election. But then we're told by Google it's the most secure election that we've ever had. And oh, by the way, once we said the election's over, it's over. Anybody that wants to question these stories got shut down on the social media forces. And those stories were buried on the third and fourth pages of Google. So it is kind of insane. And then we're like, 2024, I wonder what's going to happen. I'm sure it'll be fine. We got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I had a piece last month. It was the opening line was, sure, Donald Trump's the favorite to win. Sure, he's the betting market favorite. But the censorship industrial complex looms over this election. They interfered in 2020 and Republicans complain about it. They whine about it. What have they done to prevent it from happening again? Absolutely nothing. So it's going to happen again, right? I'm pretty confident, right? That's not conspiratorial at this point. The powers that be have done everything they can to try to prevent Donald Trump from returning to the White House. They arrested him, indicted him, made up these hoaxes. They've done everything. If they have access to rig the spread of information to hurt him again, they'll absolutely do it. It is very frustrating because we're not supposed to talk about these topics. You get called all these evil names if you mention it, but it's so true. There's evidence of it. The House Judiciary Committee filed a report in November connecting government agencies to communications with Facebook and Twitter, encouraging them to censor content on their behalf. That makes Facebook and Twitter at the time state agents who can be sued under First Amendment law. But we're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to just overlook all of this stuff. Look, my only advice to people, don't act like a sheep. Don't expect these people at top to have your best interests. They want you to vote for who they want you to vote for. And if it requires them to not let you see the truth, they'll do it. This to me is the topic of 2024.
Well, and I think you make a really important point when you talk about sheep. Sheep sort of follow.
Yeah.
And the trend that I've seen, you know, I'm 59 years old, so I'm the old man on this conversation.
Yeah, we got that when you referenced William Randolph Hearst, actually.
I was actually thinking maybe 69 when you heard that reference.
So, glad it wasn't a Thomas Sowell quote. It's like once a month.
Well, hold on. Let me pause. Thomas Sowell, nobody references him more than me, so let's maybe not age ourselves. Yeah,
he's the man. He's the man. He's the man. But here's the thing. I've noticed the consumption of news has changed dramatically. You know, when in the 80s and the 90s, I would read multiple newspapers. You had cable news, you had network television. But the point was you had to initiate, go out and make a choice. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read that. What's happening with these news feeds that Google controls, that these big tech companies control, is everybody is passively just accepting what is fed them. I mean, in other words, they're not going out and seeking alternatives. They're saying, I'm going to trust the news feed. I'm going to trust what Google thinks is relevant to me. And that's where you're being a sheep.
Right.
You're expecting to be fed. When is the farmer bringing the food, rather than going out and making sure that you're consuming the news? And that is a huge change psychologically, and it lends itself to this kind of manipulation.
Well, not just passive, but you just used the right word. And I think we actually used this Mark Cuban quote in the film, or if we didn't, we talked about the idea of it. But he said, now people expect that if a news story is important enough, that it will come to them,
right?
That they don't have to actively seek it out. And so, yeah, so you're just sort of open to it. And that's actually why Dr. Epstein's research has showed that between those three things, because we talked about it hadn't taken over yet, but in the film we talked about, eventually there will be the answer box. It's not just going to be this page of responses. It's going to be the one thing. And that has happened now, where you Google a thing, it's like, the answer is this per your your computer.
Right.
So between search engine manipulation effect, which is altering the order in which things occur, and we assign a lot more meaning and validity to the things at the top of the list and at the bottom of the list, the answer bot effect, and what they call the targeted messaging effect, which, for example, like in Florida in 2020, they said 100% of Democrats got go out and vote messages on social media and Google. 60% of Republicans did. So just that alone can impact who turns out. But between those things, Dr. Epstein and others are saying that independent voters can be shifted from anywhere from 20 to 80%. I mean, just again, based on statistically valid research. And when we talked about Dr. Robert Epstein, remember, this is a Harvard grad. This is, he studied under B.F. Skinner. I mean, this is legitimate stuff here. So it's crazy to think that, but also I think that the social media companies in Google specifically has helped shape the change in behavior that way. So it hasn't happened organically. We've been manipulated that way.
We've been conditioned. So Bobby, what's your advice to people that are listening to this podcast? Yes, there are absolutely policy prescriptions to deal with the censorship that need to take place in Washington, D.C. I think they need to break up these big tech companies. They need to recognize that they're not neutral platforms. They are media outlets with an agenda and need to be treated as such in terms of regulation. But what would your advice be to individuals who are out there who say, look, I want to hear both sides, right? I want to hear news from both sides. How would you suggest that people go about getting that?
So my grandfather every morning read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, then made up his mind. Hard to do now. But my advice is don't get your news from Facebook or Google. Find some websites and some journalists you trust and visit those sites and those pages every day. See, when we look at numbers at Outkick, most people don't go to a web page anymore. They find their stories via social media and Google. That's part of the problem. Like you said, they're being fed what links to read. But if you go to the Wall Street Journal every morning, you go to the New York Times afterwards, then maybe you go to ABC News and Fox News. That way, you're in control about what you consume and who you read. That's my advice. Don't let big tech tell you what to read. You decide what to read and bypass those Facebook links and Google links. And I'll throw in another one. Go to outkick.com every day /Bobby Burek.
Absolutely.
To be clear, I thought you were going to say every day my grandfather used to read the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. Today, every day he reads Outkick. That's where I thought you were going on that. That would have been a plot twist for your grandfather. But I was going to ask you, I mean, is it weird for you who works for a website who I'm sure gets some traffic off of backlinks and Google and social media feeds? I mean, is it hard for you to be out there kind of covering in a critical way this behemoth who can be considered the kingmaker, not just for political campaigns, but for news outlets as well?
Of course. We have meetings all the time about SEO and Google and how to optimize getting ranked on Google. Be honest, it is very crucial to the business of any website. But me personally, I try not to worry about that, because when I got into journalism, all I wanted to do was do what a journalist is supposed to do, and that is give your opinion and ask tough questions. So if one of my stories gets dinged on Google because I call Dylan Mulvaney he or him, or I mention election interference by big tech, so be it. I feel like it sucks, right? You get fewer readers and fewer advertisements. But I think it's so important that you don't become a slave to those algorithms, because that's what has really bundle this industry up to where we don't have a lot of diverse opinions, because we're so afraid of big tech. That can't happen. That's why I love the website Rumble and someone like Dan Bongino, who said, look, I can make a lot of money on YouTube, but I have to play by those rules. The only winning move is to not play. So I try to remember that every day, to don't worry about what big tech's going to think. Say what you think Americans need to read and need to discuss.
Well said by our guest, Bobby Burek with Outkick. We appreciate you joining us. Great insightful research and reporting. Keep it up. We appreciate you monitoring big media. It's so important in this election year. And we tell the audience the same thing. Make sure that you are an active consumer of the news, not a passive consumer of the news. It's important to read multiple sources. And we appreciate you, the audience, taking the time to listen to this podcast. We know your time is valuable. You can find more information about the research and work we're doing at thedrilldown.com. You can certainly pick up my book, Blood Money, at fine bookstores anywhere. And you can find this podcast wherever fine podcasts are located. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time.